Greetings of love, my dear light tribe. I'm genuinely thrilled to be joining you to talk about the internal chakras. It's one of my favorite subjects. My journey and spiritual awakening began many years ago with the very first meditation that I ever tried to do, which was a seven chakra meditation. And it was an old school type of meditation from a traditional yogic book, where you kept your awareness in each of the seven chakras, starting with the first root chakra for 3 minutes. You went 3 minutes in the root chakra, 3 minutes in the second sacral chakra, 3 minutes in the solar plexus chakra, doing nothing but keeping your awareness inside that energy vortex. Now, I had no experience of working with my own or anybody else's chakras. And I had no experience of anything in meditation, certainly not of trying to feel and hold your awareness in a center which I'd never heard about, which I didn't really understand whether it totally existed or not. But something urged me to try this meditation. It wasn't in recorded form. It was in a book. And I would read about the one chakra and what I was supposed to be doing and try and hold my awareness there and move on to the second one. I'd have to open my eyes in between to read the various sections of the chakras. And at the end, when you'd reached the seventh chakra, you then had 3 minutes in your aura where you held your awareness in the aura before trying to hold your awareness with everything, with inside your body, your energy, your physicality, and all that is around you. And I was guided, although I wasn't in conscious connection with my guides at that point, to do this meditation, and I was absolutely determined to master it. And so in many ways, my entry into the world of energy and inner consciousness came through a seven chakra meditation. I have subsequently learned how to work with other people's chakras to see into their bodies, something which if you told me I could do years ago, I would have bet you £1 million that I wouldn't ever be able to do, as I'm not good at visualizing. I always considered myself to be bad at healing. I couldn't feel energy. When I was initiated into Reiki 1 and 2, I didn't feel anything. When I worked on anyone, I didn't feel anything, whereas all the people around me could feel loads of things. And when I tried to visualize things, nothing happened. It was like a blank canvas. And yet, one thing followed another until I'm able to not only sense things to do with the chakras in myself and other people, but also see them. And I'm going to teach a bit about this evening, looking into your own chakras and also into the chakras of others. So let's begin with the basics. The word chakra means wheel. The energy centers are considered wheels in that they spin. So you could consider it a wheel moving in three dimensions or a vortex. Either way, it is energy inside of your physical body, which is higher dimensional. How do we know that it's higher dimensional? Because we can't see it. So it requires tools outside of normal X-ray machines that are able to pick up a vibration or a color that indicates that a chakra is there, which we now have. We now have the technology to pick up energy centers, to pick up the colors within an aura that are being activated by the energy centers inside. And this is something that I must stress from the beginning. It may be an obvious thing, but many people believe that chakras are mythical, a hippie kind of invention, a nice idea, and that scientifically they cannot be proven. I will argue absolutely to the contrary, that they are as real, the energy centers or chakras are as real as your liver, your kidneys, your blood, your bones, etc. And they can be scientifically proven, and they work with the physical glands of your body. Each chakra inside your body is connected with a particular gland, and they work through the nervous system via that gland. So the whole system of chakra healing, as various people have developed it, is based on the fact that information or energy comes into these chakras and connects into our physicality through the glands that they're related to and through the nervous system. And therefore, what happens in the energy centers affects our health. And you can imagine that an energy center is in between what is happening in your physical body and your thoughts, and particularly emotions. So let's talk first about the root chakra. If you are working only with the seven chakras, the chakras tend to be numbered from the bottom up. So they tend to be numbered number one, the root chakra. Number two, the sacral chakra in your belly. Number three, the solar plexus chakra at the solar plexus just below the ribs. Number four, the heart chakra in the center of your chest. Number five, the throat chakra. Number six, the third eye chakra, which is in the exact geometric center of your brain. Number seven, the crown chakra at the top of your head. So we will use this numbering for the moment, even though when I'm working with or activating the 12-stroke-13 chakra system, I work from the top down. When we work with the internal chakras, you tend to work from the bottom up. So let's start with number one, the root chakra. The Sanskrit name for the root chakra is Muladhara. The energy of the Sanskrit name holds the energy of that chakra. So it's worthwhile using and learning the Sanskrit names if you are going to do chakra meditation or work with your own chakras. If you're doing chakra healing with someone else, it's not as necessary, because if you call it the root chakra and they understand that it's rooting them from the bottom of their system, that is sufficient. We will use the colors as they were traditionally given in the yogic teachings, which are the colors of the rainbow. Every aspect of the seven chakras goes in gradations, which means it goes from one certain energy to a higher or faster energy in stages or steps as we move upwards. So the root chakra has a very slow vibration. If you imagine it spinning like a vortex, it is spinning slowly, and the energy of it is very deep and very physical. Right on the other end of the scale, chakra number seven, the crown chakra, Sahasrara, which even sounds lighter if you compare Muladhara at the base to Sahasrara at the crown. Even the sound of it, you can tell, is a lighter, higher, faster frequency. So the crown chakra spins much faster. Its wavelength in terms of sound, the sound wavelength that it holds, and also the sound frequency which would be able to activate that chakra, is much faster. It's a shorter wavelength. In every way, the chakras at the top of your body are lighter. They spin faster, and when you sense into them, they feel more like light. So when one does a chakra meditation in a group and there is feedback afterwards, what you tend to find is that the first chakra, Muladhara, is much easier for some people to sense in. Let's say the first, second, and third chakras. Some people will in the group will say, I found it quite easy to feel the first three chakras, but as we started going up, I couldn't really feel them or sense them in the same way. And several other people in the group will say exactly the opposite. They'll say, I could really feel the light and sense the upper chakras, but the bottom chakras, I wasn't really getting anything. Why? Because you, according to your nature and according to the energy state that you're in that moment that you're doing the meditation or exercise, are more tuned in to the physical or the spiritual. For many people that are spiritually inclined and who tend to work with and be in the upper chakras a lot of the time, it's easier for them to sense the upper chakras because they are more like light. You can experience them more as light than you can the lower chakras. The lower chakras, you can experience them in a more physical, sensual way, in a more kinesthetic way. So we will do an exercise where we move through the chakras, not exactly like a meditation, and just see what you experience as we do this. Let's go into the first chakra. So Muladhara, at the base of your spine, we will use the rainbow color red. Just as the rainbow moves from red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo to violet in the light spectrum, so the chakras as we move upwards will move from red, orange to yellow as we move up through the chakras. Now, many people say that the colors of the chakras have changed or are changing because of our higher dimensional nature that's integrating into us now, or because everything in our planet is shifting into the higher dimensions, and some people are naming the chakras with new colors. My guides say that when you're working with the internal chakras in a form of healing or with yourself, the rainbow colors are still relevant, but there is certainly an aspect of greater translucency. There is an aspect of them being more subtle and sometimes looking more pale than they used to be, and let your experience be your experience. But there still is purpose in using the rainbow spectrum with the chakras because the nature of the colors in the rainbow spectrum still holds the gradations. It still holds the subtle shift to higher, lighter, finer, faster vibration as you move up through the system. So here we are in the first chakra. Just close your eyes and imagine that you are in the first chakra now. Imagine that all of your awareness is located in chakra number one right now, so that you start to experience a red spinning. For the moment, we are not going to say which way the chakra is spinning in terms of clockwise or anti-clockwise. But the general spinning feeling does go from the front to the back of your body. If you imagine a spinning top and you've set it spinning and it's perfectly upright on its point, it'll be spinning from front to back And this is how you visualize and experience your chakras spinning. Now, if you can get any sense of spinning in that place now, you are starting to experience something which is there. And if you don't naturally get that, you simply visualize or imagine it. Imagining that you are in a red center at the base of your spine or at your perineum, and imagining that you are moving into a sense of spinning in that place, this will generate an experience of that chakra, because you are asking your sensory apparatus to actually pick up that thing in that place. It's not that imagining it is making it happen. It's that imagining it or attempting to visualize it is tuning you into what is happening there. And every single time you do this, you will have a different experience. Sometimes you'll tune into certain chakras more easily than other ones. In general, your ability to tune in will increase. And what helps is if you don't try too hard. You focus your awareness so that you're in that place. Focus your awareness there. Make every effort to bring your awareness into that place, so you're concentrating inside in that place, and you imagine a sense of spinning and the color red, and it will eventually tune you into that chakra. But you do it with a sense of lightness, with a smile on your lips. Smiling will actually relax your mind. So if you're frowning, you're trying too hard. If you're getting stressed out and irritated with yourself or the process, you're trying too hard. You have a sense of lightness about it, which the Pleiadians teach about, that is like playfulness. It's like playfully experimenting with sensing that chakra. And the more you have that playful sense of experimenting, whether you are working on yourself or another, the easier it will come. So there we are in Muladhara, the first chakra. Now move upwards as though you're moving through a lift shaft up into your belly below your navel. And you come to the second chakra, the sacral chakra, so named because it's aligned with the sacrum, which is the large triangular bone just above your tailbone. So you can feel that if you like. After the last lumbar vertebra, you come to a place which is flat and hard, where the bone is quite near the surface of the skin, and that is the sacrum. And some of you have those delightful little dimples just at the top of your bottom, and those dimples are part of the sacrum. They're at the top of the sacrum. So in front of the sacrum is the sacral chakra. The second one, Svadhisthana. This is the sexual chakra. So it starts with an S, sacral, Svadhisthana, sexual. And in this place, your identity as a man or woman is rooted. How you feel about yourself as a man or as a woman or as androgynous, which is also an experience that a lot of you have and also are increasingly having, because on a certain level we are working towards androgyny, which is not a state of not having a sex, it's a state of having the male and female equally balanced within you. I'm not encouraging you to have that. I'm just saying if you do have that sense of androgyny, this is also acceptable. It isn't a sexless state. So this chakra is orange, it's spinning, and it's a very vibrant chakra. It's a chakra that gets a lot of attention because we are sexually orientated beings. And if there is no sexual activity in your life at all, and I'm not talking about just having sex, I'm talking about identifying yourself as a man or woman, being proud of that, feeling confident as a man or woman, being connected to your sexuality through your clothes, through your attitude, in a nice balanced way rather than an obsessive way. If it moves towards obsessive, the chakra will appear as too large. If there's nothing happening there and you can't identify with yourself as a sexual being and you don't have a good connection with your body in general, it tends to shrink and be too small. Either way, this is easily corrected. So what I want to talk about now is the connection between the first and the second chakra. Many people don't understand how certain chakras are paired or linked together, and these two are very much linked together. Sexually, a man will identify with their sexual urges through their first chakra. A woman, on the other hand, gets sexually stimulated through the second chakra in the belly, and the movement or sexual impetus moves from the second chakra into the first. So there's a slight difference between men and women and the first and second chakras. To a certain extent, both chakras can be considered related to sexuality, and to a certain extent, both chakras can be considered related to the physical body, to your connection with your physical body. Speaking of that, in the first chakra, your connection with your physical body is about feeling safe in your physical body, being physically grounded from your 3D physical body down into 3D earth. It's also about feeling safe and protected. Safe in your body and safe on the planet. What would make you feel unsafe in your body? A diagnosis via the Western medical system that says that you have osteoarthritis or Crohn's disease or cancer, something which is either supposed to kill you or supposed to be with you, according to them, for the rest of your life, this will quite obviously make you feel unsafe. Diagnosis can be like a poison. The reason diagnosis was introduced into Western medicine was because of the system of medicine that they were formulating. In order to be prescribed a medicine that would help you, like antibiotics or antihistamines or whatever, painkillers, a diagnosis has to be made. With this diagnosis, you are treated with a particular medicine. So that's how it came about. Sometimes a diagnosis in the Western system is useful because you know, right, I have psoriasis, I don't have eczema. And you can then use natural means to treat that thing and begin to understand it more. But in general, diagnosis is one of my pet hates because it's like introducing poison into your mind system, where for the rest of your life, you believe you have this thing you cannot escape from. You live in fear of the symptoms returning or the symptoms getting worse, or you live in fear of dying from that thing, whereas miracles happen before me every day of my life. I have seen so many people diagnosed who have overcome that illness completely and are completely well. And I completely believe that working through the chakras is one of the primary ways of healing thoughts and emotions which are dysfunctional. It's one of the reasons why I'm teaching about the chakras. So that's what would make you feel unsafe in your physical body. What would make you feel unsafe in your body on this 3D earth? The natural disasters, the predictions of the world coming to an end, of the poles shifting. Heaven alone knows what. We're given enough predictions and fear-inducing prophecies these days. And if you don't feel safe on the earth and in your physical body, your first chakra will play up. If you are constantly in fear that there isn't enough money, that there isn't going to be enough money, that you're going to lose your job, that you'll never get another job, that your house might be taken away from you, things that make you feel unsafe will affect your first chakra. So these thoughts and emotions on the one side, if they persist, if they continue, worry, anxiety, and the same thoughts run around for long enough, they will affect the chakra, which is in the middle. The chakra is in the middle between your thoughts and emotions and your physical body. So if these dysfunctional or negative thoughts and emotions are around for long enough and they start to block up that first chakra, or to shrink it, or to make it oversized, to make it dysfunctional and not clear, that will eventually go into your physical body and create backache, leg problems, knee problems, something in your lower area, also relating on a digestive level to constipation, to letting go, being able to let go through the colon. This will be affected by a stuck or blocked first chakra. So many of us are affected, and this is temporary. It's not a diagnosis. It can be changed. So just for instance, I'll give you an example from my own personal life. My first chakra, I knew, must be misfiring, because in the last 6 or 8 months or so, I've had sacroiliac problems that have given me backache that sometimes start to go down my one leg, a sciatica. I've had all sorts of healing. I had a series of 5 neuroskeletal realignment sessions before I went away to South Africa this last time, and it never really went away. I got on the plane to go to South Africa via Dubai, and by the time I arrived there, my backache had gone. For the whole month that I was away, I hardly had any problems with my back. The minute I'm back in London, my backache has returned. It's fairly obvious to me that it's coming because I'm not happy in my home anymore. I don't have a proper home here. I don't want to be in London. Circumstances are such that I have to be here for a while. My backache comes back. So knowing that, having identified that that is very clearly where that is coming from, I will then work with thought forms, affirmations, journaling around home and my future home that make me feel excited about my future home, that bring me back into a sense of trust that everything is perfect exactly as it is, that remind me and my whole consciousness that I'm not stuck here and I don't have to be here, and my back will instantly improve. So working with the balancing and healing chakra meditation, which I've just put up on YouTube and on my website, will automatically start to balance the chakras out. If you really allow yourself to go into trust and trust affirmations and connection with your body. So that was the first chakra. The second chakra, as I've said, works together with the first chakra in terms of physical body and also sexuality. So physical body isn't so much about trust and feeling safe. In the second chakra, it's more connection with your physical body. Can you listen to, can you hear your physical body and what it really desires? What your physical body really desires is enjoyment. So this chakra is very much about, are you nurturing your physical body, and Is your body enjoying itself? Is it getting enough exercise? Not the kind of exercise that you force yourself to do, that you don't really enjoy, like being on the treadmill in the gym. Some of you do enjoy that. If you really enjoy that, if you're doing it and you're thinking, yes, I love the feeling of my body and I'm achieving, I'm on my third mile, this is amazing, and you're smiling and having fun, that's all cool. I'm not one of those people. I would rather be walking or running outside where there are trees, where there's nature. So it's not that I am prescribing what you should do for your body to be an enjoyment. It's just check that any form of exercise that you're doing, you are enjoying it while you're doing it, because it's very important. So if you are able to listen to your physical body about the food that it wants, about the exercise that it wants, about the kind of sex that it wants, or just that it wants sex in some form or other. Maybe it's in the form of self-pleasuring. Maybe it's just in the form of sensuality rather than sexuality, but just to be able to be enjoyed without any guilt, without any shame. Do you go on a kind of diet which is to lose weight or to become healthy or to detox, which is prescribed by a book or a person or a system or a YouTube, which is absolute hell? You hate doing it while you're doing it. Your body will not benefit from that nearly as much as if you find something that has the equivalent effect that you actually enjoy doing at the time. We are a society that has been brainwashed into believing that our duty is to do such and such in order to achieve such and such a result. Our duty is to work hard in our jobs in order to be responsible citizens and provide for our families and loved ones, regardless of whether we're enjoying ourselves or not. We are supposed to exercise in such and such a way for so many minutes per day, per week, per month, in order to fulfill somebody else's idea of a quota of the recommended exercise for our heart rate. We've lost all sense of enjoyment and common sense about what our body really enjoys. So first and second chakra working together are about your connection with your physical body, your feeling of safety in the physical body. So as a chakra healer, when you tune into those two, if you tune in to the second chakra being blocked or dysfunctional, or the first chakra being blocked or dysfunctional, make sure that the connection between those two chakras is flowing, which means, and I want you to do this inside yourself now. So go back to visualizing the first and the second chakras spinning inside yourself. The first chakra is a red vortex at the base of your spine or the perineum. In actual fact, if you want to get very specific, the first chakra is at the prostate, inside that gland. For a man and for a woman, it's actually in your vaginal canal on the back wall, about an inch below the cervix. So it's right in there. And if you do a little Kegel pull up or a Mula band, a little pulling up inside your vaginal canal or at your perineum so that it activates the prostate, you will feel that little tightening sensation at Muladhara. So for many people, this actually helps you to identify the first chakra. It's a very enjoyable feeling exercising that little muscle. It shouldn't create tension in your belly. It's a tiny little pulling up, a little bit as if you're stopping yourself from urinating or going to the loo. So visualize that spinning red vortex at the base of your spine, Muladhara, and directly above it in the belly, in front of the sacrum, visualize the spinning orange vortex. Now, see if you can feel energy from the second chakra moving down into the first. See if you can get a little spiraling energy to move down into the first. The energy is not leaving the second chakra, it's simply communicating with the first chakra. See if you can have a sense of a passageway between the two of them, a connection. And the first way you check is from the second chakra down to the first. And then check if you feel that connection from the first chakra up into the second. So a two-way energy flow. And some of you are experiencing in this moment that it's easy enough to feel the energy moving from the second down to the first, but not so much from the first to the second, and some of you are experiencing the opposite. So simply wait, hold it in your intention that this energy is cleared, that there is an energy flow between the first and the second. As we move on to the Pleiadian Arcturian healing skills sessions, and I work with sound, I will demonstrate to you how to use a sound to connect one chakra with another. The sounds that you use on the lower chakras tend to be deeper sounds because of the deeper frequency that you can talk to them in than the upper chakras, where the sounds are lighter, more whistly, higher pitched tones. And sounds, the vowel sounds as well, are sharper. Presuming that you have a nice flow between those chakras, let go of that visualization now and bring yourself into the third chakra, into Manipura, the solar plexus. Solar gives you a clue to the nature of the center, which is like a sun, just in that soft place below your rib cage. So we are now in the center of your body, also in your abdomen, but now above the belly button. And in that very soft place where if somebody had to punch you, you would be completely winded. This is the place we're talking about. You can place your hand there now to identify it. You feel your rib cage, and below that, a very soft, tender place, the solar plexus. And if you move your awareness inwards into the center of your body, in front of your spine, that's where the solar plexus is, Manipura. It is a spinning vortex of yellow or golden yellow, a sunshine color. The sunshine and the sun itself is a sign of strength, and this is where your strength is, on a mind level rather than a spiritual level. So the first chakra is more about physical body than anything else. The second chakra is connected in with your emotions through your creativity and sexuality. And your third chakra is the center of mind. When your mind controls everything, you are a control freak, and this makes for a diminished or dysfunctional third chakra rather than one that operates very well. When your mind is relaxed, even the simple act of smiling on your lips and your face will relax your mind. You immediately step into a sense of freedom and expansion that allows the solar plexus to be stronger and allows you to step into your power. And this sounds to some of you now like a contradiction, and I will explain it. We have been conditioned about power in our society to believe that the point of power is being powerful, in a sense that where you wield or hold power over others. And in order to be powerful, you must dominate others, be stronger than others. In other words, a comparison between yourself and others. Whereas a true sense of power internally, stepping into your power and being empowered, has nothing whatsoever to do with others. It has to do with you and you alone, your sense of self-confidence. As you accept yourself as you are on a personality level, and this involves knowing what your gifts are, knowing what your strengths and your weaknesses are. All of us have strengths and weaknesses on a personality level. I've recently discovered a lot of my weaknesses when I've been living with people and wanting to live communally and realizing how bad I am at living with a group of people where we all make decisions at the same time about everything to do with the house. I've realized that I need some kind of autonomy as far as my living situation goes so that I can, for instance, decide on the decoration of my surroundings, because for me personally, that's very important. So this is something which is individual to me. Some of you are like that and some of you aren't. It's recognizing the way the place where I'm living looks makes a massive difference to me. Having enough color, having it vibrant enough, having it exotic enough rather than minimal. This matters a lot to me. And so let me choose to place myself in a situation where if I am living with people, I have autonomy about some particular decisions, such as the decoration. And this is something I now know about myself. So you learn about yourself through the mistakes that you make as you go along. I recognize now I have these weaknesses, I have these strengths. And then you use your strengths and your gifts to create a situation which is good for you and everyone else around you. So this is all in the third chakra. It's not needing to be perfect, because no one is perfect. It's understanding your strengths and your weaknesses, acknowledging your gifts, feeling comfortable with that. And as you start to feel comfortable, as you accept yourself as you are on a personality level, you suddenly move into this freedom, the sense of freedom that makes you realize, I can choose my destiny. This third center, Manipura, the solar plexus chakra, is the center of will, which includes willpower and exercising your free will. So all of these things used correctly bring you into a sense of self-empowerment where you no longer need to control others, have power over others. You no longer are fearful of other people controlling you. You no longer feel it either way, this fear or anger that others are controlling you, or the need for you to control others in order to combat that. And this lets go of the separation, the sense of separation. We have been hardwired to function from our solar plexus center during the 2000 year era of Pisces. We have moved through the transition into the age of Aquarius, where we should now be hardwired to operate from our heart. But we are struggling with that connection from the solar plexus to moving fully into the heart. When you have a good connection flowing between the two of those, then you are empowered and in the heart. So if you want to work with those two chakras together and learn more about how those two chakras can empower each other, then work with my meditation, which is called Dissolving the Veils. You'll find it under my free meditations on my website. And we're going to do a short version of that now, because this is the next set of chakras that very much works together. And it has this universal aspect at the moment as we have shifted from the one era into the next era, the age of Aquarius, that is incredibly relevant. It's like a microcosm inside of us that reflects on a macrocosmic level what is happening in our universe, in our world on Earth. So bring yourself into Manipura, this beautiful sunshine color swirling at the solar plexus. And at the same time, bring yourself into the heart chakra, this beautiful swirling emerald green. There you can place your one hand on the solar plexus and the other one on your heart chakra. And you'll find that the one is just below your breasts and the other one is just above your breasts. Whether you're a man or a woman. And the lower hand is tuning in to the beautiful swirling vortex of yellow. The upper hand is tuning in to the beautiful swirling vortex of emerald green. Now let's see how the flow is working between them. So first check if you can feel a flow from your heart center down into the solar plexus. See if you can have a sense of a channel opening between the two, which is moving through the veil, which on a physical level is represented by the diaphragm. The diaphragm is a huge elastic band spreading under your lungs and dividing your upper hand from your lower hand, dividing the lungs from the digestive organs below. So there is an etheric veil, which is like a veil of illusion. When people say seeing through the veils, in many ways you could consider this is one of the veils that when it is completely dissolves, involves you seeing and experiencing things as they truly are, because you see them clearly from your heart or with your heart and your solar plexus empowering each other. So you've looked at that connection between the heart and moving down into the solar plexus. And now I want you to look at the connection moving upwards from the solar plexus to the heart. See if you can feel a connection moving upwards. And let me explain how these two work together. The similarity between what heals all dysfunctions in both of them is acceptance of the self. So accepting yourself exactly as you are on a personality level will heal the misperceptions that might have been held, the incorrect thought forms that might have been held in the solar plexus, your power center, your will center. And loving yourself exactly as you are will allow your heart chakra to open. And this love is equal to acceptance. Loving and accepting yourself exactly as you are. It has a different frequency in the heart and the mind chakras, because in the solar plexus, accepting yourself exactly as you are is done through the mind, through your brain, where on a logical level, on a thinking level, you can look at your strengths and your weaknesses, your gifts, your dysfunctions, the things you're good at and bad at, and you can think, you know what? It's all cool. It's all cool. I think it's all cool. And that comes in your thinking chakra. And in your heart, it's more about feeling. It's more about feeling love and acceptance for yourself. It's that same energy of love that you would feel or give to another. Imagine that a baby, your baby or someone else's adorable baby, is in front of you or in your arms, and that bursting open of your heart to just love them, because what is not to love? They're not challenging you yet. There they are, innocent, pure, beautiful and adorable, with their big eyes staring at you, and you just love that baby. If you imagine that same feeling of unconditional love opening inside of yourself for yourself, that is feeling love and acceptance for yourself exactly as you are. So you can see how these two chakras hold a similar aspect about love and acceptance for yourself. The one is more on a thinking level, the other is more on a feeling level. How they empower each other when they have energy flowing effortlessly, clearly between each other, is that the energy and strength from your will center, your power center, will empower your heart. It'll bring strength to your heart chakra so that you're not so vulnerable. On the other hand, when your heart center is truly flowing down, that energy is connecting down properly, it will dissolve negative or unworthy thought forms in your power center, in your thinking center. Because love is a healing power. You can do an exercise where you have both hands on your heart center. Just try this now. And as you move into that heart vibration, the energy of unconditional love, and you let that open inside of yourself, you can practice sending it down to your solar plexus to empower it, to dissolve all negativity there so that you really feel strong. Now sending it further down into your belly chakra, Svadhisthana, dissolving all negative thought forms about your sexuality, about your femininity or masculinity, about your physical body and what it looks like, so that you really love your physical body and sexuality and connect with it. Then you can send energy, love, unconditional love and acceptance from Anahata, your center point, down to the first chakra, and down to Muladhara, the root chakra, dissolving any negativity you have there that makes you feel unsafe in your body or on the planet, dissolving fear around money, home, job, around any security issues that you have. And then you can go in the other direction, sending love, unconditional love and acceptance from your heart up into your throat center, dissolving any untruths there, any fear and nervousness about speaking up for yourself. And you can send it up from your heart center into your third eye, dissolving anything that stops you from connecting with yourself spiritually, with yourself as a perfect, divine, spiritual being incarnated in a body. Dissolving any thought forms that would lead you to believe that you're not good with intuition or with extrasensory perception, listening to your guides. Any beliefs that you're not good at that will be dissolved. And finally, sending love from Anahata up into the crown center, dissolving any anger issues you have with God or higher authorities that would stop you from connecting with all that is above, with the guides, angels, and with God, Goddess, and being able to hear your guides as well, because those two chakras that we're going to come to, the third eye and crown, work very much together. So you can relax your hands now. That was interesting. My guides were leading me with that. Well, they lead me with everything that I'm teaching. I'm not following any script. They were saying that this is another way of doing a healing and balancing chakra meditation, is staying in your heart chakra all the way through and sending that energy down from the fourth chakra to number three, then number two, then number one, and then sending it from number four to number five, number six, and number seven. This brings me to my next point as we move into the heart chakra, Anahata, in the center of your chest, which is emerald green and swirling, which is that this is your center point. If you're looking at the slide, I've called the heart chakra the center point. It is the balance point between your physicality below and your spirituality above. The one is not better than the other. They are equal. All aspects of yourself, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, are equally valid parts of your whole. So the higher chakras are not better than your lower chakras. It's just that when you are on your spiritual journey, you focus on your higher chakras so that you open these centers that have previously been perhaps closed, or you've been unaware of them because you've been so busy thinking about money, home, job, sex, power, control, and all of those things that are embedded within your consciousness in the lower chakras. So put both of your hands on your heart chakra again. You're not really holding them on your heart chakra, of course, because your heart chakra is in the very center. You're just directing your awareness to this place of your body and then bringing your awareness into the middle of your body from that point. And think three below, three above. So summarize to yourself the ones that are below, number one, two, and three, the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus. Summarize to yourself the three above, throat, third eye, and crown. So those of you who are new to working with the chakras, you first get a grip on the first chakra, the middle chakra, and the last chakra. The root chakra at the very bottom, which roots you down into the earth. The center chakra, which is in your heart, perfectly balanced with three chakras below and three above. It's your center point or balance point. And the crown chakra at the top, number seven, which connects you with all that is above. Just as the root chakra roots you into the physical world through earth below, the crown chakra connects you upwards, or roots you upwards into the higher dimensions, the invisible worlds. And these are the worlds in which your guides, your guardian angel or higher self energy, God, goddess, source energy, the universal energy, whatever you would like to call source, all of these connect into you through the crown, which is the first point or place of call from the higher dimensions into your physicality. So the heart center is a swirling, gorgeous, emerald green ball of energy. The personal heart chakra, as opposed to the sacred heart chakra or the one heart, which we're not discussing today, the personal heart chakra involves your connection, your love relationships with those that are close to you, giving and receiving love, and particularly those that are closest to you, your lover, husband or wife, partner, your children, your brothers and sisters, your mother and father, close family. Those that you are closest to, you connect with through your heart chakra. Indeed, you connect through your heart chakra with all others as well, with other friends and acquaintances. But there is another aspect to the higher heart chakra and the one heart chakra, where they are designed to connect with everybody on earth in different ways. And all I'm saying about the personal heart chakra is that in terms of healing the heart chakra, the hurts and defenses that are there to be healed tend to have come from those that you are closest to. And it's very different for different people. Many of us have primal wounding that came from our mother or father, that came at various points in our infanthood or childhood, where a word or sentence was said or an action was made that was fundamentally hurtful, that set up a pattern of it's not fair, or I am unworthy, or I will not be loved unless I'm a good boy or good girl, unless I achieve well, unless I keep quiet, unless I perform well, whatever it is. These patterns get set up when we're very young and will tend to affect us through our other close relationships for the rest of our lives unless we heal those thought forms. And we can heal those thought forms through working with our heart chakras. Our heart chakras are actually the easiest ones to heal, as much as you may not think so, because it's easier to stay in the energy of our heart chakra than any other chakra once you get the hang of it. And the way my guides tend to teach this is to teach activation of the prana tube. The prana tube is an invisible, crystalline, energy breathing device that runs through all of our chakras. It isn't the same as Sushumna, which is the central channel that Kundalini flows up. This is an etheric breathing tube, which is much bigger than Sushumna. It's about 1.5 to 2 inches thick. So it's quite a big tube that runs straight through all of our chakras, and you can activate it by sending it up to plug into the great central sun, which is in the center of our Milky Way, and sending it down through the root chakra and the bottom of the aura to plug in to the physical core crystal of the earth planet, and then receiving energy from both ends. Receiving this deep healing magnetic energy from the earth and the wonderful clear light activating energy of God through the great central sun and down through the crown chakra. And these two electrical and magnetic forces ignite the heart energy and allow you to stay in that focus for longer. But even without doing that, you can simply move into your heart center. You can activate it by smiling. This is the very simplest way to activate heart energy. Even thinking about smiling without that physically manifesting on your face will start to relax your mind and activate your heart. Is that not a worthwhile trick? Is that not a simple piece of magic? Just thinking about smiling, or actually smiling, relaxing your mind and opening your heart. And as you stay in that heart energy and simply feel unconditional love for yourself, is like healing your wounded inner child. It will effectively heal your hurts and melt your defenses. Another amazing way to do it, as included in the angelic higher self activation meditation on my site, is to activate your prana tube to allow that energy in your heart center to expand, and then to visualize and encourage your angelic wings to expand out from the back of your heart chakra. So do that now. Visualize that your angelic wings, and each one of you has these etheric angelic wings. There are no exceptions. All of us have an angelic nature. So visualize those wings unfurling, uncurling from between your shoulder blades, and then hold that image of your wings, whether they are like angel wings, bird wings, fairy wings, butterfly wings, dragonfly wings. Just let them be as they want to be in the moment and just allow them to expand. And as you move into the bliss of that, what happens as that energy moves through the back of the heart chakra is that your defenses, which are like metal plates around your shoulder blades that give you that sense of tension between your shoulder blades, those defenses start to melt, melted by your angelic sense of self. And we now come to the throat chakra, which is not the same as any of the other connections in the body. My guides describe the throat chakra as a gateway chakra. So bring your awareness into it, and it's a swirling sky blue chakra. It's a beautiful light color, and it's the first chakra that you enter into in the upper chakras that has this real sense of light within it. The throat, the third eye, and the crown chakras have this amazing aspect of light within them. The reason the throat chakra is described as a gateway chakra is because it is the chakra that your consciousness moves through to go from your heart to reach the third eye and crown, which work together as paired chakras in the same way as the other ones lower down work together. It is the one that, when it gets stuck, makes it difficult to connect in with your extrasensory perception and intuition, which is held in the third eye, your connection with God, which is held in your crown, and your ability to operate from unconditional love. Your higher self connection comes when the throat chakra is open and clear enough for your heart chakra and your third eye chakra to truly communicate with each other. So right now, I want you to hold one hand on your heart chakra in your chest and hold the other hand on your third eye, which would be on your lower forehead. And imagine that your awareness is moving inwards into the geometric center of your brain and inwards from your chest hand into the center of your chest. So you will have an indigo blue swirling sensation in your third eye in the center of your brain, and an emerald green swirling sensation in your heart chakra. What do we need to connect through these chakras is for the throat chakra to be open and clear. And one of the ways to do this is simply to visualize it as light. Your throat chakra is about communication, communicating with truth, being able to speak your needs, your wants, your desires, to express your truth effectively and without fear, without timidity. It's also your creative center. It also has to do with manifestation and being able to actually manifest in the world rather than just internalize it. So your throat chakra connects very much through your shoulders, arms, and hands to your work and manifestation in the outside world. But on another level, on the level that I am talking about now, it is simply a gateway. It's a passageway to move through. So as you hold your hands on your heart and your third eye, let us try sending energy down through the throat from the third eye to the heart, just visualizing that energy moving through light. It's almost like the throat chakra becomes transparent rather than sky blue. And there's this wonderful sense of light and openness in your throat. You will normally send violet, which is an aspect of the upper chakras. will send a violet flame down through the throat to surround the heart. And this higher energy, this violet flame from the third eye, will encompass the heart and transmute negativity around it. It's a protective force. Now visualize that deep emerald green, clear as a lake in the mountains, is sending energy up through the open throat chakra and into the third eye. And now you have effectively opened the gateway. So one of the ways to open this gateway is simply to see energy flowing from the third eye down to the heart, and see energy flowing from the heart up into the third eye. I like to think about the violet flame moving from the third eye to surround the outside of the heart chakra, and that emerald green flame moving up within that violet flame in the center to embed itself in the third eye. And that beautiful green and purple is embodied by fluorite crystals. So a fluorite crystal, which holds the colors of violet and emerald green, is an excellent one to use in making this higher self connection. So the throat itself, I've spoken about being the communication center. And what truly opens that on an individual level is sounding, physically sounding, allowing sounds to come out of your mouth, because we tend to have been inhibited all the way through our lives by being told to be quiet or not speak up for ourselves, or that it's more polite to hold back. And sometimes we just need to it out or make primal sounds, but doing mantras or actually just singing, no matter how, whether you think you're a good singer or not, singing in the shower, all of these things will open your throat chakra and make it easier for you to express yourself and speak your truth. What the throat chakra is about in its enlightened aspect is truth and integrity. It is your center of truth and integrity, and you can see how this lies at the heart of embodying your higher self. So your higher self is activated through those three chakras, through unconditional love and acceptance for yourself in your heart, through truth and integrity, embodying truth through your words written and spoken in your throat chakra, and experiencing yourself as spirit, trusting your spiritual nature and your intuition, allowing yourself to listen to yourself on a spiritual level so that you hear your spirit's thoughts as much as you hear your mind thoughts, as much as you hear your body speaking to you. These are three different aspects in the chakras where you hear things. You can hear them from your body in your second chakra. You can hear them from your mind in your third chakra. You can hear thoughts and feelings from your heart in your fourth chakra. You can hear them from your spirit in your sixth chakra. So we're going to move up into the sixth chakra, into Ajna, the seat of your soul or spirit. And this is indigo blue, but it has this aspect of violet within it as well. Just as the crown chakra is violet, but has the aspect of white, of the unity of all of the rainbow colors, the color of pure spirit white. So place one hand now on your forehead, on the third eye, and the other hand on your crown. And we're going to experience how these two can be connected and how they work together. Ajna is the place where information that comes in from your guides and angels and the higher dimensions and star beings is translated. In other words, divine guidance comes in through your crown chakra. Where else would it come in from? Your crown chakra is your portal. It's your opening place into your physical body for all that is higher vibrational, higher dimensional, and sacred. And as this energy comes in, as wisdom, pure wisdom and truth thoughts and guidance comes in through the crown chakra, it reaches the third eye, and only when it is translated or processed in the third eye can you then see visions. Can you then hear higher guidance? Can you then know through your intuition what is good for you and what isn't? So these two must work together. In many aspects, Sahasrara, the crown chakra, is not a personal chakra. There are many yogic traditions and exercises that use the six chakras rather than the seven chakras, because the seventh chakra is really a portal to God rather than anything to do with your personal consciousness and processing and the way you operate. So you operate on a much more physical and primal basic level in your first two chakras. You operate on a mind level in your third chakra, on a heart level in your fourth chakra, through your words in your fifth chakra, and through your spirit and from your spirit in your sixth chakra. But your seventh chakra truly is just an opening to all that is above. The aspect of your consciousness which is embedded into the crown chakra is your trust in God. And therefore, on a personality level, what can block the top chakra is when you have such a fundamental problem with one of the initial authority figures in your life, such as your father, that it affects your connection with God. You start to distrust God. And you're not open to the love and all-encompassing light and vibration that comes from that source energy. That is the one aspect that can block the crown chakra when you're working on yourself or with a client, is that distrust. Generally, you work with those two chakras together. If you're working with the third eye, check that the energy is coming in effectively at the crown. Our time is up for the moment, dear ones, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to the Pleiadian Arcturian healing seminars that are starting next Sunday. They are 3 weeks in a row. Those of you who register for those three will also receive diagrams and notes. You will also receive a zipped file of the first three chakra webinars, this one being the third, and the following three, which are more specifically geared towards healing. They can assist with healing yourself, but they particularly will help with healing others and being able to sense into others' energies. So I will speak more at that time about how to tune in to other people's chakras and how to work with them. But what we have covered tonight with regards to the connection between chakra 1 and 2, the root and sacral, the connection between 3 and 4, the solar plexus and heart, the connection between the heart and the third eye, number 4 and 6, through the gateway chakra of the throat, and the connection between the third eye and crown. These are fundamental to my way of working with the chakras. It is something that I've come to via my work rather than any school that I've studied with regarding the chakras, many times someone, a healer, can work with a chakra, or you can work with one of your own chakras that you know is blocked, such as the solar plexus. And I use that example because many of you that are listening to this have issues in your solar plexus about coming into your power effectively, and control issues that you're holding on to. And you might work with your chakra absorbing golden light in order to heal it, asking the angels for help, without being aware that you can work with the connection between that chakra and the heart in order to assist work. You can indeed work with the connections between any chakras, so you could equally work with the connection between the solar plexus and the sacral one below it. But the ones that I've emphasized today are the ones that I know to be particularly effective in working together, where there is a theme running between those two or three chakras that is fundamental to the nature of your being and your consciousness. And so, in great love, dear ones, I end this webinar sending my love to you and all of your chakras, asking you to ignite all seven rainbow colors into white light now. And feeling the white light of Source filling you inwardly and outwardly now, so that you may be in peace, in bliss, and in harmony. And so it is. Namaste.